Australia had a visit from the President of Vietnam, who's also the General Secretary of the Communist Party, Tô Lâm, this week. The four-day trip was the first such official visit by Vietnam's top leader since 2009. And it saw the two countries pledging to deepen cooperation under the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership that was established last year. Bilateral trade between Australia and Vietnam continues to grow. There are also now over 320,000 Vietnamese-born people living in Australia, about 35,000 Vietnamese students studying here last year. Vietnamese is now the fourth most commonly spoken language in Australia, and Vietnam itself is in Australia's top 10 tourist destinations. Dr. Bui Hai Tiem is a researcher at the Department of Global Political Studies at Malmo University, and in the conversation this week, he wrote that Vietnam wants to harness its diaspora in Australia to boost its growth, although it may face strong opposition. Dr. Bui Hai Tiem, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So when did Tô Lâm come to power, and what's changed in Vietnam's approach to foreign relations since he did?
He came to office in July 2024, and he was officially elected the General Secretary of the Communist Party in August 2024. Since he took office as the number one politician in Vietnam the last 2 years, he has been advocating a stronger approach to foreign relations and taking foreign relations to a new height in Vietnamese policy as one of the three pillars: the security, the defense, and the foreign policy.
Mm. And he's done a lot more travel than previous leaders, is that right?
Yes, he has made a lot of foreign travels, and he's has been visiting most of the major powers in the world. He has met with the US president twice since he was in office. He met with Xi Jinping, the president of China, twice, and India prime minister, and many other leaders. So he traveled extensively over the last 2 years.
You wrote in the conversation that there was discussion about leveraging the Vietnamese diaspora at this 33rd diplomatic conference last week. Could you tell us about that conference, the discussion, and what you think its implications are for Australia?
The diplomatic conference of the diplomatic service in Vietnam is held every 2 years, and it's a very important gathering of all the diplomats, particularly from the defense and public security sector, to discuss how to implement, how to best realize the objectives set out at the Communist Party's National Congress, held every 5 years. So this conference focused on many different topics, particularly how to harness the resources for the national development goal of becoming a high-income nation by 2045, and then a highly developed socialist country in 100 years. So it's very long vision. During this conference, there's a lot of issues, and one of the most important one was how to harness a Vietnamese diaspora abroad, particularly with the Resolution 23 signed by the president himself in the capacity of the General Secretary. So this the resolution issued by the Politburo, the highest decision-making body in Vietnamese politics. So this directive will guide how the diplomatic service implement its policy and to achieve the resources that is needed for Vietnamese economic development ambition. The first resolution on the how to harness the diaspora was actually issued in 2004, so it's 22 years ago. And this new resolution is actually inherited a lot of the views and approach from that resolution 22 years ago. And policy framework continues approach to treat the diaspora primarily as economic and technological resources. Particularly, an emphasis was placed on it as the strategic capital for Vietnamese development in the new era.
How does this strategic aim of leveraging the diaspora sit with the evolving dynamics of Australia's diaspora community?
The diaspora in Australia is one of the most established overseas Vietnamese. And the development of the diaspora in Australia represents some very interesting developments because how it has been transformed from mostly dominant by refugees, by the new generation, the emergence of the new generations of those who came to study and those who came to work in Australia the past 30 years, particularly since 1990s, when a lot of Vietnamese came to Australia to study and then stay on or came there to work. And now they become the next generation of high-skilled educators or high-skilled workers. This is the target of this new policy as well. So the diaspora in Australia has developed quite differently from what we can imagine about the diaspora 20 or 30 years ago.
On Sunday Extra, we are speaking with Dr. Bui Hai Thiem from Malmo University about the evolving relations between Australia and Vietnam. Vietnam has embarked on a course of what it describes as strategic autonomy. Could you explain for us your understanding of Vietnam's new foreign policy vision and how Australia fits into that?
Autonomy is a term borrowed from European context, actually for the middle powers. Vietnam has not been a middle power yet, as the original meanings of strategic autonomy for middle powers when the term was coined. However, as an aspiring middle power. So Vietnam is setting the goal of becoming a middle power in a decade or so. Vietnam has to achieve the kind of the strategic autonomy that it has to deal with different stakeholders in the new era, particularly given the intensity of the U.S.-China rivalry and the changing geopolitical dynamics in the region. Vietnam has to diversify its relationship with the comprehensive strategic partnerships, particularly reaching out to middle powers in the region, like Japan, Korea, and Australia. Strategic autonomy means that giving the country more space in deciding or making its own decisions in foreign policy that is not subject to the dominance of great powers' politics.
Yes, the role of China, particularly in the South China Sea, is, as you describe it, the elephant in the room. How has Vietnam responded to China's actions in the South China Sea?
So far, the strategy of Vietnam in dealing with China at the South China Sea has been a more complicated one. It's not as straightforward like what the Philippines would deal with China in the South China Sea. For Vietnamese foreign policy, China is still the number one partner, even more than any other comprehensive strategic partner in terms of its importance on many different fronts. The political, the economic, and many others. But China has one of the most significant dispute with Vietnam in terms of sovereignty and focusing on the South China Sea. So this is the issue that has the greatest potential of a flashpoint in the region. So it has a lot of meanings for the stability and peace across not only the South China Sea and those countries involved, but the whole region, and particularly with the U.S. and China competition over this region, it has become more and more important for the future development of Vietnam.
Thiem, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you.
And we're speaking there with Dr. Bui Hai Thiem, researcher at the Department of Global Political Studies at Malmo University. And Thiem wrote the piece in The Conversation this week, Vietnam wants to harness its diaspora in Australia and New Zealand to boost its growth. It may face strong opposition.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.